The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. If you've missed stuff today, there's been a lot happening. Sint Marchal is retiring at the end of the year from being the Mavericks CEO. Bill Belichick is listed as the odds-on favorite to be the Jets' next head coach with their firing of Robert Saleh. And the Dallas Mavericks have cut A.J. Lawson. So there are some updates for you. And now it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
By the way, I did some looking. There are only four times in the Mike McCarthy era, thanks to RJ Ochoa, that they have won and turned the ball over at least three times.
Wow.
In each one of those occasions against Tennessee, Houston, and another team, Philadelphia, they also turned the ball over got turnovers two, two, and one times. So there was never a difference of three.
And I know technically people might be like, that last play counted as a turnover, but not really, right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess really, yes. But it didn't, not the way you would normally think.
Don't forget also on Friday to come hang out with us at Buffalo Wild Wings. You'll get your G-Bag Nation Whataburger flag for this year's Flagtober and so much other stuff as well. Cowboys tickets to give away, courtesy of Miller Lite. We look forward to seeing you at the Louisville location of Buffalo Wild Wings. Even though like the address is very difficult, there's lots. It's right off I-35.
It's off a loop, and it's a whole thing.
Frontage road.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones hopped on with Sean and RJ this morning, and Bobby, and he was asked how impressive was Rico Dowdle's Sunday.
Well, first of all, Rico, in my mind, has always been a violent running back. I'll use that word, that strong term. But, boy, he really knows how to get in the hole and get there quick. And his issue has always been availability, injury, one thing or the other. And consequently, it's good to see him sustain through these four games really, if you will, the punishment that a running back takes. But it's not surprising to see him doing well. We've always thought that his ability to run with the ball is outstanding. He had to work on his protections. He had to work on the other things that running backs have to do. So he's going to really help us as we get on into the year.
All right, so there you go. I think Dowdle is a really good running back whenever the holes are there.
Okay.
And I think the Cowboys have admitted to themselves they got to clear that space.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I'm concerned about is once he gets through, he doesn't have a breakaway. That's what separates great running games from good running games. Cowboys haven't had a good running game yet. They had a good running outing on Sunday, but I don't know that they can be a great running game. But again, I think they just have to be effective enough to give Dak Prescott some space. Then they asked Jerry today about the Tyler Smith quote regarding Jalen Tolbert's brain junk.
Well, again, I'm not going to really go into all of the ways. We don't have time. I mean, you can do it stepping off a curb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or you can do it at midnight.
Delightful.
One of the things I do remember, and it's tough.
You can do it at midnight.
This is why I asked that question this morning. Because I think if we just talked to Jerry Jones like he was a normal dude on the show, it would be an entertaining 30 minutes of radio.
Yeah.
A lot of times we have to just have these serious conversations with them about stuff.
Sure.
And I know, again, I talked to him a couple of years ago, and he was like, I would like to have more fun with you guys on the show. And because he understands he has that, but he also understands they need to win a Super Bowl for him to have that ultimate fun.
Sure.
If he really wants to have fun for a year, do that. And then everybody's like, all right, let's just talk. What else you want to talk about, Jerry? And that'll happen.
Cause I mean, people have this weird perception. I mean, he's not a mushroom. He's a fun guy.
Dude. Kevin.
Come on, nothing?
All right, back to the music.
Oh, man. I didn't realize you stopped the music too. Dang.
Did you see,
that
Kevin,
unfortunate.
The score of the Boston Celtics and Denver Nuggets?
Oh, I did not.
Basketball's game.
I did not.
At one point.
Finals preview.
In the third, it was 101-68. All right.
Dear.
Again, preseason. I think the final was 130-104.
Oh, all right. Okay.
So they came back.
You could live with that.
Jaylen Brown, however, had a team high 21 points in the preseason game.
What?
And it
why
feels
is he playing so much?
Jason Tatum's out there drilling threes and sweating during the preseason. And the word an FU season is starting to come out.
Oh no.
And that mindset is you guys never believed in us. And we're going to show you that last year wasn't a simple fluke. We're going to take it to you. And I say this because...
Oh, dear.
Their coach is already a psychopath.
And now, in the nicest way, right?
Oh, maybe not. And I'll explain why in just a moment. I heard this on Sean and RJ. It was Bobby that brought it up one morning. And I was like, I texted Bobby last night and was like, hey, can you lose your mind on the show tomorrow? And he was like, yeah, deal. But I also texted him and said, hey... What's that? For all of you who are saying that joke was funny,
no,
you need to stop.
It's just the feedback from the 214. Sigh. From the 972. That was freaking hilarious, Kevin. I got your back. From the 682. Crickets. From the 469. Or excuse me, 432. I laughed, Kevin. So did the 214. From the 469. Send Kevin home. He's done for the day. And from the 254. Damn it, Kevin. So that's where we're at.
So there's this, I feel, so Mazzulla is a psychopath. And here's my examples of him being a psychopath. He talks about drawing inspiration for his team from things like killer whales and poor defense from the Toronto Blue Jays.
What?
He says he wishes the season is 10 times harder than last season. So this season he wants to be 10 times harder. When he saw Tatum was sitting on the bench and Jaylen Brown was not included, he was like, good. This, and I agree with him on this. Like, that's the kind of thing you pin on a wall and say, all right, I'll go show you. But he also, this is the weird stuff. He took his wife to the U.S. Open.
Okay.
And spent the whole time charting unforced errors and how many times the players talked to their coaches. And when they got to go to a Broadway show together, Mazzulla ruined it by trying to take notes on how performers were regulating their breath between talking and singing. So again, their coach is already a psychopath, all right? He's already this. And now I believe Jaylen Brown's kind of steering this ship. I think he's right in line with their coach in wanting to prove I'm better than any of y'all think. Because A, he was on the team before Jason Tatum. And then everybody's like, oh, Jason Tatum is obviously the guy on this
team.
That's
a good point.
Jaylen Brown's like, what about me? He was always Robin when maybe he was Batman the whole time. And you saw it when he became MVP this year. So I'm a little concerned that this is a team that just destroyed everybody on their path to a championship. And they might be back for vengeance after doing that this year. So just keep an eye out on that, Kevin.
I don't like to hear that because I think all Mavericks fans can agree they looked pretty damn good last year.
They looked really good last year. Kyler Murray.
I know him.
Did you see that he went after all the trolls? He tweeted out, to the trolls who meme me into a bag, thank you. I'm officially launching my Call of Duty partnership. And then there's a commercial that he tweeted out there. And yeah, that's it. Everybody has made so many jokes about it that Call of Duty reached out and was like, hey, man, why don't we just partner up on this thing and you can go after it? And after he beats the Niners, perfect time to announce that, right?
Yes.
He goes out and beats the Niners and like, hey, let's go ahead and announce this partnership with Call of Duty.
Man.
To the trolls who meme me into a bag. Y'all made me money, trolls. Thank you.
I mean, it was like when The Rock said that John Cena looked like a big fat bowl of Fruity Pebbles. And then he was on the box for Fruity Pebbles. And I was like, man, so that turned out pretty okay for John Cena.
This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And then this, Kevin, I wanted to bring this up while you were talking about LeBron and Bronny.
Mm.
Did you see the Lakers fan that got ejected from the game because he tried to take a shot in Palm Springs? The Lakers and Suns were playing. A fan reached down and picked up the ball and shot it, tried to shoot it over the back of the backboard.
Uh-huh.
Didn't even clear the backboard, hit the back of the backboard, and then security immediately came over and said, you got to go. It took 6 minutes for them to escort him out of there. Kevin Durant, LeBron, everybody's like, what is going on right now? Like, what's happening? They're watching this dude get ejected. And I ask you, does attempting to shoot the basketball over the backboard and missing as miserably as you did constitute being ejected? Because I already feel like you were embarrassed enough by not being able to ball.
I think yes, because I think if you make it, they let you stay.
Really?
You've seen all the highlights from people making like the incredible, you win college tuition or you win $100,000 shots. People love that.
They do.
So I think if you made the shot, like LeBron or KD would step in and be like, nah, he gets to stay.
What is the one sport that you want to get a chance to just do the thing without like having to be the center of attention on the field? You just, hey, you walk by, pick up a basketball, throw it up, it goes in, you're like, awesome. And everybody's like, yeah.
I always think that I could do well at that throw the fry in the Whataburger box at the Rangers game. Like, I've seen that a lot. And
they all seem like they're doing it wrong, right?
I know. It just feels like a matter of physics that
you're really trying to push it from one end and slide it through your other hand. That's really what you're trying. You use that as the guide, but the pump, the push of it comes from the backside of the fry. And then you're pushing the fry forward and guiding it with your other hand. Whatever hand it is, your left or right, it doesn't matter. I see what you're saying there, Kevin.
Now, because of that,
there are too many mushroom jokes right now.
You get this. Corey from the 903. Do you know how James Bond likes to sleep?
With his eyes closed, probably.
Under covers. Hey, that's not my joke.
Somebody called you a real truffle maker. Yeah. And I can't say some of the other ones that are going on.
Man, some of these ones are not cleared for air.
Also, Kevin.
Oh, it was a real shiitake joke. That is not bad.
From the 214, throw a baseball back to the catcher from center field. Everybody wants that chance to be rookie of the year.
Okay.
Throw a perfect strike and they're like, he's out.
Just for the record, you're not out if you tag that person. That is a confounding part of rookie of the year. It's still a home run. The fact that somebody threw it back from the stands as if the ball is still in play. Preposterous.
972. I want to be one of those fast referees from that runs past NFL players all the time. Those dudes are insane. Last thing here, though. My middle son, Carter, is playing football, Kevin. And last night, they were beating the team so badly that the coach took all the starters out and put the B team in.
Ooh.
And Alec, my son, Carter, was furious that he was taken out of the game.
I like it.
And I was like, why are you mad? And he was like, I wanted to keep playing. And I said, well, y'all were beating them pretty bad. And he goes, I wanted to beat them by more. And I was like, oh my gosh. For one, I love it. Two, this is his best game. He was awesome. He was awesome. He was blocking like crazy. They put him in on defense. He got a tackle in the backfield. He was really good. This was the best game he's played so far, and he was mad. So I had to explain to him that sometimes this is what you earn. He was mad they didn't practice this morning. He was like, why aren't we practicing? Coach called last night everybody and said, hey, great win. Come in late to school tomorrow. Not to school, but you don't have to come in early to practice. And I had to explain to him, this is what you earn. This is what coaches say you're earning. You're earning some time off. You don't have to go out there. Plus, I need to give the B team some opportunities to play.
Sure.
And so, like, you just kind of have to get used to that. If y'all go out and demolish a team in the first half, then you get your chance to settle down in a little bit in the second half. Take that time off. Focus on helping your other teammates get better. That's what I'm trying to instill in the kid for that. So there you go.
I like it. I like it.
Save your jokes for other segments, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next, probably not more jokes. I can't promise it,
might
though.
Be, though.
I really can't.
Owen Kevin.
The Tuesday tailgate, as we all predicted. SMU, Indiana, and the service academies continue to be awesome.
Nobody predicted
that. Next on The Fan.
No safeties back in the deep middle of the field. The seas part, and there goes Jennings. No one home on third down and two. Touchdown.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the Tuesday tailgate coming up in just 1 second. But first, we go to Corey Majors.
All right, so this is something I'm sorry I forgot to get into the C block. But last night I was reading this. I think Alec read this.
Oh.
I was going to say saw, but then Alec saw this. But
and
then
no,
I
Mike
read.
Was still here.
And then I know Matt Hicks saw this. But Kevin, I don't know if you did or maybe you did. Noah Berggren is a meteorologist for Fox 35 Orlando. That seems like too high of a number. But he's on air from Monday through Friday.
That's
five
a
to
good
seven,
point.
Lots of different times. But he is a meteorologist in Orlando, okay, where there is currently, yeah, as Alec has pointed out, a direct shot coming from the
Hurricane Milton
that's on its way right
you know,
now.
It's really crazy because I was going to tell a story about how the Rangers affiliate was auctioning Stars jerseys to raise money for Helene relief, and now we've already moved on to something that could be awful as well.
Listen to this tweet.
Okay.
And the last line is the most important. He said, "This is nothing short of astronomical. I'm at a loss for words to meteorologically describe you the storm's small eye and intensity. 897 megabytes, I guess. I don't know. Pressure with 180 mile an hour max sustained winds and gusts of 200 plus miles an hour. This is now the fourth strongest hurricane ever recorded by pressure on this side of the world." All right. By pressure on this side of the world.
Oh my gosh.
"The eye is tiny at nearly 3.8 miles wide. This hurricane is," here's the line, "this hurricane is nearing the mathematical limit of what Earth's atmosphere over this ocean water can produce." That line right
there
just stunned me. The mathematical limit of what Earth's atmosphere over this ocean can produce. It's getting close to it. And I don't know exactly what happens to Earth if that happens and it bursts the mathematical limit. That's what shocks me, is what happens after that? And they said millibars is what MB stands for. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That line of "this hurricane is nearing the mathematical limit of what Earth's atmosphere over this ocean water can produce." And then Alec tells us that his sister is in like, it's coming right there. And she's like, gosh, never mind. I'm done for the day, guys.
Corey, I need you to get serious, okay? That could be.
And they're making memes and having jokes about this hurricane while we're all sitting here going, how do we help out? And they're all cracking up about it.
Gotta love Florida people, man. Florida man and Florida woman.
Yeah.
See, that's terrifying, and I'm worried that people might be too down. And then I get this text from the 214. "I started working at 1 a.m. Kevin's jokes are the only thing keeping me going. Hey,
lies.
Alec,
lies.
What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet?"
No.
Supplies!
I'm going to beat this traffic. I'll see you guys later.
I'm right there with you, man.
So you don't want to...
You can push all the buttons.
You don't want another one? Okay. All right. Because, we'll keep the other one to myself. All right. The Tuesday tailgate, unless people demand it, then we'll give you another joke. All right. The Tuesday tailgate. SMU. They move into the top 25 after beating Louisville. What do we think about the mighty Mustangs of SMU being in the top 25?
I like it. I like it for this area.
I agree with that.
And because this is interesting, too, because my son is now interested in football. I love it because he's playing. He wants to watch football. So we were watching SMU over the weekend, and he was like, so is SMU really good? And I was like, they're having a really good start so far. 3-0. This is great. And he said, so how long have they been good? And I was like, well, that's an interesting story. Yeah. And I started explaining the Pony Express and all that to him. And he was like, hold on. So I can't get paid in college? And I was like, well, you can now. But back then you couldn't.
Yes.
And they got a death penalty for it. And anyway, it's awesome. It's awesome for the community. It's awesome for the area. I hope ACC football becomes a big thing around here.
That would be cool.
From that they can be a significant player when it comes to what's going on at the college football playoff level.
And we're
going
to add to that because Indiana beat Northwestern 41-24. This is the first time in school history Indiana has scored 40 plus points in five straight games. If you want to take it even further, so Indiana is really good. SMU is really good. So are the service academies. Army and Navy are both 5-0 for the first time together since 1945.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not. Army is 5-0 for the third time since 1959. And Navy is 5-0 for the third time in 40 seasons. So for Navy, they've been 5-0 three times now in the last 40 years. For Army, three times in the last 65 years. To see it happen at the same time?
Yeah.
It's been 79 years since that happened.
I'm trying to figure out
that's
why.
That's amazing.
I'm trying to figure out what the reasoning is. They have better recruits than they've ever had before.
Maybe we're more patriotic.
Is it because we're not actually involved in any wars? They've been able to stack up this type of recruiting classes?
That is an interesting hypothesis that I don't know if I totally agree with.
Are we?
I mean, technically, yeah. We're still in a few skirmishes.
Kind of like on the outside. I don't know. I don't know how it all works.
Now, let's talk about Pittsburgh.
That is very impressive that both forces are being able to do that right now.
Pittsburgh is another surprise team early on. They defeated North Carolina 34-24. They are 5-0 for the first time since 1991.
Their offense looked awesome.
Yeah. Okay. And so you're looking at a college. I realize what the top of the rankings actually look like, but you've got undefeated Army, undefeated Navy, undefeated Pitt. You've got top 25 SMU, history making Indiana. What the hell is going on?
Yeah. And that is, I wouldn't expect that out of Pittsburgh. I really wouldn't, but you're right. There are a bunch of schools. I guess, Kevin, when you have a coach, though, that's like, hey, I win, Google me. Of course you're going to be good.
I do love that.
Google me. Don't Google me. My kids.
Why not?
Friends have Googled me.
Oh, really?
And they're like, all these old tweets that Carter's like, hey, Dad, did you ever say this? And I'm like, I did say that like 12 years ago. I'm thinking I need to go back and purge some tweets. What is it, more jokes, Kevin?
In the 3-2-1, I want more jokes. And this joke is amazing. I don't think you should.
Is it the TCU one?
Yes.
No, I don't think you should.
I don't know
do
if it will fly at 1:30. Okay. Look, I've said this many times. Come out to the Buffalo Wild Wings in Louisville. We'll give you a G-bag flag, tell you some of these jokes, maybe tell you the weird hypothetical.
Don't.
That.
I think Lucius
Alex
would agree
Brain?
That you should never tell that one again.
That is a fair point. All right, let's go to cut number 14 and perhaps the most, well, not the most impressive, but one of the biggest victories of the weekend.
3rd and 6. They keep it on the ground with Daniels, and look at this! Amari Daniels! How about these Aggies? What a start!
Texas A&M got their largest win ever against a top 10 team in their beatdown of Missouri. They said one of the things that drove them was before the game, Missouri quarterback Brady Cook was asked about playing at Kyle Field. And he said, quote, the noise at practice is actually louder. So the fans and the team didn't take kindly to that and just put an absolute thrashing on Missouri. And they moved up to number 15. But we've talked about different teams who have become the stories of college football. Let's talk about, outside of Ryan Washington, the player who has taken over college football. This is cut number 17. I take you to Boise State in this player's first touch of the game.
Genty, his first touch. And typical Ashton Genty. Look at him go! You can't bring him down! Is he? Yes, he will! A touchdown, Ashton Genty, on his first touch.
Ashton Genty had 13 carries for 186 yards. Thus far this season, he has carried the ball 95 times. Guess how many yards he has?
Like over 1,000?
1,031 for a robust per carry average of 10.9. He also has 16 touchdowns. They are 5-0. The one game the Boise State lost was to Oregon by 3 points. And I think Oregon is now number 3 in the country.
Has he done this against any ranked teams?
Against Oregon, he ran for 192 yards. Though, to be fair, Oregon kept him in check and only allowed 7.7 yards per carry. But Genty ran for 192 yards and 3 touchdowns against Oregon. So essentially, Oregon beat Genty. All right? This kid is freaking unbelievable.
And I went to go look. I was like, all right, what about Washington State? Washington State's 4-1. And he broke off, 259 yards and 4 touchdowns against them?
And their one loss is to Boise State.
Yeah. So, and look at this long. 75, 64, 68, 70, 77. That's what I'm talking about, Kevin, with Dowdle. And I know this is college, it's different. But with Dowdle, you'll never get that 70-yarder. Yeah. And you're hoping you can get that kind of a player at some point.
He has not fumbled the ball one single time thus far this season. And as Corey just mentioned, he's had a run of at least 64 yards in every game this year. At least 64 yards in every game this season.
Is 5'9",
that's
215 pounds going to make it, though?
I get you. I know there is...
I know Deuce Vaughn's 5'5", or something like that. In college, he had some, you know, video game numbers, too.
I know there is concern about his size, but I feel like we're transcending this.
At least, is he from Frisco?
That's what I think. Yes, okay. He is Frisco ISD's own, I do believe. All right.
Dude, that's impressive, man. He averaged 13 yards per carry last year.
Good Lord. That is amazing.
And 11 the year before, and right now...
Only 10.9.
Yeah, so only 3.2.
You might be looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah, I am looking at the wrong thing.
Let's talk about...
They screwed their... my bad.
Lincoln Riley in USC. USC lost to Minnesota. And Lincoln Riley had a totally normal reaction. This is cut number 17. When a reporter, asked a regular question.
Jamil, did you feel like that last touchdown they got in for Minnesota?
No, don't ask it. That.
I say, yeah,
don't ask it. Yeah. Next question.
On the third and
who
fourth.
Who cares what he said?
By what, player's opinion? Let's ask a more professional question.
So, there was a controversial touchdown in there, and when the player was about to answer, Lincoln Riley said, who cares? Don't answer that. You're asking a player's opinion? I mean, that feels like a logical question. Hey, that one touchdown that really changed the game, what did you think? Don't ask that. Don't answer that.
That seemed like a reasonable question.
It did seem like a reasonable question.
I don't have a clue what he was trying to protect from, or maybe he knows that reporter and he's like, he's always trying to bait you into something. Or
I mean, look, it was fourth and goal. And that's what decided the game.
He got in?
Yeah, that's a pretty... And I understand that question, too. It looked...
I don't.
Question. No, I understand the question about why it got asked.
Yeah, no.
Because it looked like it was close.
Well, what's the answer? I don't think it got in?
I mean...
And that seems like...
Let's ask a more professional question.
A more professional question. All right. Do you think your head coach is a system coach who's being exposed?
Yes.
That's a professional question. Yeah. I don't know if he would care for it.
All I know is I'm saving this for whenever Kevin gives me another hypothetical during a break.
Let's ask a more professional question.
I will not. That is fair. All right, let's talk about real quick fines for carrying goalposts off the field. Vanderbilt has been fined $100,000 for its field storm against Alabama.
They got them October 26th.
God, then I feel like at that point, do you have to put Vanderbilt in the playoff? You're like, I don't know, dude. They beat all these good teams. Arkansas was fined $250,000 because it was a second offense under the policy of storming the field and trying to get the goalpost down. By the way, that money goes to the other school. I don't know if I realize that. However, Vanderbilt's going to be just fine. They have cut up the goalpost into a lot of pieces, and they're selling them for $1,005, and they sold out like that. So
I bet
they're fine.
I bet, man. That's kind of a rich school anyway. All right, right.
Harvard of the South.
As we've always heard. But that is a moment that is of great significance. Again, hadn't beat a ranked team, 0-60. And then
top five,
let alone it's Alabama.
Yep.
And you get that opportunity. I'm not saying do it, but Carter, my son, asked me, so dad, if that happened and I was playing, could I do that? And I was like, I don't think you should be part of the group tearing the pole down.
Right.
But I don't think it hurts to walk along with it as it's getting thrown into the river. I don't think that's too bad.
I wish they would change the verbiage. I think I told you this when we went to an FC Dallas game with some of our kids from our refugee group. And they said, hey, after the game's over, can we invade the field? I was like, man, that feels so much more intense. And I said, you cannot invade the field. And they were like,
it feels more intense than storm.
It really does. Now, I love this segment, and I hate to end it on a down note, but...
You don't have to. I can read this quick shout-out.
No, that's okay. Did you guys hear about the explosion at the cheese factory? All that was left was debris.
I would like to shout out Ari, who was born this morning, the granddaughter of Artolo from the 214. He finally got out of work and is headed to the hospital right now. Congratulations to you and your granddaughter. Sorry about Kevin.
Oh, man. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on The Fan. KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Had lots of stuff happening today. Sint Marshall stepping down or retiring, excuse me, at the end of the season. Robert Saleh, at the end of the year, I'll get it. At the end of the calendar year, Robert Saleh fired by the New York Jets. And now, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is ya?
Peggy, we are rolling. How are you?
Nice.
I'm a little concerned because of something that Corey told us about, I don't know, 25 minutes ago, about Hurricane Milton and the meteorologist who said, like, it's at the limits of what Earth's atmosphere can do.
Yeah.
I know it's not, like, hitting here, but are you concerned about the hurricane? Do you have family members in Florida or anything that you're concerned about?
I'm concerned just for humanity.
Yeah, okay.
Just for people. Yeah, I don't want there to be suffering, and I know there's people sitting there going like, "I'm gonna wait it out."
Yeah,
and they're gonna be swimming here, but before too long, you know, when they say, it might be Category 3, Category 4, you want to ride that thing out, you're good. But when the weathermen are getting emotional on screen, like they're taken back by the science that's happening in the atmosphere, I think it's time to get.
Yeah, I talked to some people with the Buccaneers yesterday, and they were moving on to New Orleans. That's where they're going to play this week. And the biggest concern is leaving family and friends behind. You know, that's their concern. You know, you just never know how things are going to happen. I remember my brother was in New Orleans for Katrina, and my brother never left. I mean, he was never going to go, guy, and he said, "Nah, I'm getting out of here for this one." And, you know, you would have survived it if it wouldn't have been for the levees breaking, you know, and the city being flooded. But when the storm surge is, you know, 15 feet, you know, that could be really, really tough. But yeah, the Buccaneers, they're heading on. They're getting out of there. But they're just listening to them talk that they're so concerned about the things they're leaving behind. And will it be the same when they come back? That's the biggest unknown for them right now.
That is totally fair. We talked about Robert Saleh getting fired and then escorted out of the building. Have you guys ever been escorted out after being fired? Okay.
Yes, I have.
Okay. Was that...
Yeah, and this is how I got around it. I was in Jacksonville, and I knew that I was talking to the Cowboys about coming here to go to work. So it was kind of an ongoing for 2 weeks. So every night before I left, I took something out of my office that I needed. And so I'd take notebook and three notebooks.
Cleaning my desk here.
And then four notebooks and then some of my film. And I started just taking it. And by the time I got done, when I was leaving, Skip Richardson, the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't know if Skip's still there in Jacksonville, but Skip Coughlin said, yeah, Skip, meet Brian and take him out of his office.
Oh, man.
And I went in there and Skip walked in with me and I had two pieces of paper on my desk and I grabbed the two pieces of paper and he looked at me, goes, that's all you're taking? I go, we're good, Skip. And I headed on out. I'd already packed my office knowing I was going to go to Dallas.
Oh, my gosh.
And so when they escorted me out, it was like I had two pieces of paper in my hand and I waved goodbye to the Gator Bowl, an Altel Stadium, and all whatever else it was named, and headed back to Ponte Vedra to make the journey this way. Yeah.
That's awesome.
The only time I got fired was at Blockbuster, and they definitely escorted me out. There was an HR person there. Our district manager was there.
Was that after you kicked the window of the thief?
Yeah, it was about a month later. I thought I was free and clear.
Yeah.
And
because he signed the paperwork that said he did actually do that.
No, I thought it was free and clear.
Did they have this on video, Heggie, by any chance?
No.
They didn't have it on video.
I should have challenged. And
it's literally
like,
a video store.
Okay. Yeah, we didn't.
No cameras?
We'd have a camera out front, even though six months earlier, somebody had thrown cinder blocks through our glass door and broken in. I was like, hey, we need more cameras. And they're like, oh, we'll get to it.
Skip Richardson is still there, by the way.
Is Skip Richardson still there?
Skip's still there.
Okay.
Is he director of security?
Yeah. He handles every phase of security for the team.
Okay. Skip walked me out, and he was surprised. I only had two pieces of paper in my hand.
That is amazing. Are you guys, speaking of surprise, CBS put out a poll that said the most popular candy for Halloween is the M&Ms. In what world is regular M&Ms number one on this list?
It's Reese's.
Reese's was one.
Reese's has always been number one. Come on.
Two because of this.
What is going on?
M&M's is really having a moment right now.
Are you just talking about plain M&M's?
Yeah, plain M&Ms.
It's the rookie's candy. It just shows that you haven't really tried that much.
It's really for like two-year-olds, three-year-olds.
The peanut M&Ms are
super good. It's very hard to eat them one at a time, though. I kind of pour them in my hand.
That is true.
Yeah.
I do feel like the caramel M&Ms have potential for being an all-time
favorite. I don't know if I've tried that one.
The peanut butter ones are incredible.
Peanut butter ones are delicious.
There's the peanut butter and jelly ones that are out and about.
They're making their rounds.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You had left the other day when I broke that culinary news.
Yeah. Jelly Man over here.
Jelly Man.
Yeah. I had not even heard of those.
This is news to me, and I got to now have to find them.
Pretty exciting time.
The pretzel ones are good. Yeah. I think all of the other versions are better than just the traditional M&M.
Yeah. And like they also put Hershey's Kisses and Hershey Mini Bars in the top 10. So like three plain chocolate products. Chocolate's delicious.
You can have that dark chocolate one they throw in the bag and try and trick you with.
Oh, not a dark chocolate person?
Well, you know what? I use it for cooking. But the thing about it is they put them in that assortment bag.
Yeah.
And you're thinking you're grabbing one of just the normal ones. And you're really not. You're grabbing one of the awful ones.
Bitter.
Maybe you got the crackle or whatever.
The crackles are really good.
By the way.
Bit of honey, still terrible.
Yes.
Still terrible.
I think the mystery candy is the worst.
The one that's orange, in like an orange or black
orange wrapper. Wrapper. Yeah, whoever invented that needs to be banished.
I think that's very fair. The other day, my wife asked me where I got so much candy, and I said, I always got a few Twix up my sleeves.
Twix is goated, by the way.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Thanks for asking. We'll get Zach's thoughts as he's returned from Pittsburgh on a victorious evening and morning for the Cowboys there.
They carried him to the river and threw him in.
Oh, man. Mark Schlereth is going to join us coming up at 4:40. We'll talk week 6 with Sting.
I got warned, don't jump in that river. You don't know what's in that river.
Pooh River.
Oh, that could be Pooh River.
Catch up.
Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Corey's already walking out. Come back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.